a conversation with the CEO of Airbus.
This podcast is supported by 23andMe DNA Kit, designed to provide over 200 personalized health reports and knowledge to make informed personal health decisions. Your DNA Kit is available at 23andMe.com/marketplace.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. And in the airplane making business, there are really two big names that matter: Boeing, which is based here in the U.S., and Airbus, which is based in France. Well, this week, Airbus entered Boeing's territory by breaking ground on a new assembly plant in Alabama. And we are joined now by the CEO of Airbus, Fabrice Brégier. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so first of all, why are you expanding into Alabama? Isn't it a lot cheaper to build things these days in China or Mexico?
No, this is not the point, because we are investing in an assembly line, meaning a very complex part of the manufacturing process. And what counts for us is to have a strong industrial presence here next to our customers. And we have selected the state of Alabama and Mobile because we had been partnering with them in the past. We have a design office over there. It's a very good harbor, so logistics is fine. And we enjoy a very good support from the state and the business community.
When you say customers, are you talking about commercial customers or the U.S. government and contract defense contracts?
No, so far only airlines, so commercial customers. You know, we expect that these airlines in America need to replace their aging fleet, and they will need about 5,000 new aircraft of this category, so the F320 category, for the next 20 years. So it's time for us to have this strong industrial footprint close to them.
How do you compete with Boeing, which is obviously based in the United States, for contracts with U.S. airlines?
Well, it's an open market. And normally, we enjoy a 50% market share. In the rest of the world, we are leading, actually, this market. But in the United States, probably for legacy reasons, historical reasons, we are lagging behind. We have a market share which is a bit lower than 20%. And we believe that getting closer to our customers, investing in Alabama, will help us increase our market share when at the same time we come up with brand new programs which cut fuel burn and which are very cost efficient.
Well, what do you say to the CEO of a major airline when they're trying to decide between going with Airbus planes or Boeing planes? I mean, it's an interesting industry because there are really only two major players.
This is right, and this is because the competition with Boeing is very, very tough. We first have to communicate about the quality of our products, which are well known. And for the legacy companies linked to Boeing, this is probably a little bit more difficult to switch. But look at American Airlines. They procured 260 aircraft recently from Airbus. So we can make it. And on top, if we are seen as very good U.S. citizens, if we produce our aircraft in America, if we reinsource when our competitor is outside, sourcing, I think it's also a plus.
When you are a company as big as Airbus that is has a reach in as many places around the world as you do, you are an indicator of the economy yourself. What do you see going on in the economy right now around the world? Where's the growth and how are things doing?
We see globally a growth because you are absolutely right. We are on the global market. I would not say that from Europe. But the growth comes from China, from Southeast Asia, from Middle East. And here in the United States, this is not a growth. This is a replacement of old fleets.
Finally, there was an idea that's been around in the news of a solar plane that's going to fly across the country. And I wonder, do you think that's where we're headed? Are we ever going to get to the point where we can actually fly a plane with passengers that's powered by something other than fuel?
It will be a complement to engines. And on top of that, fuel cells, for instance, based on hydrogen, are possible, and solar cells could be a complement. I don't think that big aircraft will switch 100% to solar cells.
Well, Fabrice Brégier, CEO of Airbus, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.7% in London, 1.2% right now in Frankfurt, and up 0.7% also in Tokyo. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 59 points for another record close at 14,673.
This podcast is supported by 23andMe, a personal DNA kit so individuals can better understand how their genes impact health, which means individuals and their doctors find health areas to keep an eye on. 23andMe also gives ancestry information and helps discover global origins or perhaps find relatives. Available today at 23andMe.com/marketplace. That's the number 23andMe.com/marketplace.
Bed Bath & Beyond will release its quarterly earnings report today, and unlike other big box retailers, analysts are expecting good numbers. Marketplace's Noel King reports.
Bed Bath & Beyond benefits from the Goldilocks syndrome. For a lot of people, Crate & Barrel is too expensive. Target doesn't have as much to choose from. Bed Bath & Beyond is just right.
So you can buy a $20 towel or you can buy a $2 towel, but you can do all of that in one spot.
Patty Edwards is a retail analyst at Trutina. She says more people are buying new homes, and they've got to furnish them. That also helps sales numbers. But what about the threat from online retailers like Amazon? Sucharita Mulpuru is a retail analyst at Forrester. She's an expert in e-commerce. The other day, she was trying to buy one of those full-length mirrors that hooks over the door.
Now, I know that Bed Bath & Beyond absolutely sells the item that I'm looking for, but I just wanted to see what was online.
And
I couldn't find what I was looking for at all on Amazon.
Mulpuru says that online companies dominate sales of books, movies, and electronics, but brick-and-mortar stores still do some things best. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
And finally, to Auburn Hills, Michigan, where a 79-year-old woman woke up from a coma, five-year coma, a couple years ago, and her first words were, "I want to go to a Bob Seger concert." Well, tonight, she will get to do just that. A staff member at her nursing home found out Seger was touring and bought tickets and arranged for a limousine. She'll even get to dine with the band members after the concert. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.